intentions. Sending out rules for people in detention. A minimum of human dignity is to mention. The foundation stone, 1864, regarding international humanitarian law, concerning the amelioration of the condition of the wounded and sick. That was Dunant's vision, replaced and revised in 1949, the same year the second convention was contrived. Shipwrecked members of armed forces at sea, civilians are hurt disproportionately. The replacement of the Convention of The Hague, provisions concerning people at sea were made. Then the third one is relative to the treatment of prisoners of war to minimize beating. It's encompassing everyone plainly. They shall in all circumstances be treated humanely. 1950, Convention Number 4, the protection of civilian persons in times of war, relating to the ones in occupied territory. And three protocols make it more explanatory. We help as soon as we can, it's mandatory. Humanitarian history, that's the end of story.
To the top we to send our war. Babylon not the more power. No let your power. Don't let them evil man not say your power.
80,000 troops were granted asylum, exhausted from the Franco-Prussian War's violence. The Red Cross had the first major operation with help from the Swiss civilian population. 1871, then 1914, when the Red Cross restored contact between captured soldiers and members of their families. The agency worked with both of the enemies. There was the need for a neutral intermediary. The ICRC was taking the lead for many. Interwar period until 1939, from the Second World War on, it was an urgent time. A huge expansion of activities. Messages from people in captivities were exchanged together with their family members. Let's jump to 1956.
November.
The Hungarian uprising, it's not surprising. The number of refugees was on the rise when the Red Cross assisted some 200,000, looking for places for them to be housed in. 1963, the resettlement of Tibetans. Cambodians and Vietnamese needed protection, just like the ones fleeing the Yugoslav wars. Switzerland ensures compliance with hard law.
To the top we to send our war. Babylon not the more power. No let your power. Don't let them evil man not say devour they.
Thank you. You mess your life up. You mess your life up. You mess your life up.
And if I had just one chance, I'd never let you go. so proud of me. I'll make them turn their heads, never be where we go. So won't you
be my, and be my baby,
baby, come on.
The one and only baby,
baby, come on.
Be my, and be my baby, my one and only baby.
Baby, do you love me?
Be my, and be my baby,
baby.
Be my baby, my one and only baby. Be my, baby,
my baby,
come on. My one and only baby,
baby, come on.
Be my, baby, my baby, my one and only baby. Be my, baby,
my baby.
Remember. our first night.
That night was all asleep. One moment divine. And here you promise me you'll always be mine. I'm always dreaming of my one and only thrill. Come back, come back, my love.
she dreaming sweet dreams of me. Wonder if she always will be faithful to me.
Everything you grumble, everything you mumble, put it to a meaning, then start to quarrel. Cut down on your speed, lady, you're riding rough. Cut down on your speed, lady, you're riding rough. You give me headache, you give me pains. You give me headache, you give me pains. You give me headache, you give me pains. Cut down on your speed, lady, you're riding rough. Cut down on your speed, lady, you're riding rough. Everything you mumble, put it to a meaning, then start to quarrel. Cut down on your speed, lady, you're riding rough. Cut down on your speed, lady, you're riding rough. You're riding.
You've got to understand. to get down, 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 down on your knees and change. Whoa, whoa, not me, no, not me at all, not me, no, not me.
Fine. pleasure that's so right, you're my delight, and that's why I love you so. I played around with love before, I was silly, and you know that I played the fool. But then you came into my life and you changed that, 'cause I know what I want and where it's at with you.
lie when I told you of my love for you, when I said I'd make your dreams come true. It wasn't a lie. I spoke from my heart when I whispered sweetly in your ear, told you of a love beyond compare. It wasn't a lie. What I promised I would do, I'll do. It wasn't a lie.
Welcome to Error 451, an occasionally weekly tech security podcast from an anarchist perspective. I'm your host, Bursts of Goodness. We're joined again by William Buddington, a digital security trainer and expert about town. Google recently released an app for people to allow a database to find famous faces and paintings that match their selfies. This uses a technology known as facial recognition, a form of biometrics. This week, we'll be discussing facial recognition technology. William, will you do us the honor of talking a bit about biometrics and about facial recognition in particular? Like, how does it work and what's it used for?
Yeah. So the app you're talking about is Google Arts and Culture. And just kind of for the record, I found a match and I was matched with a portrait of a young boy, which I was surprised by. I guess I have a baby face. Anyway.
And no beard
so
at the
biometrics,
moment, right? You're beardless at the moment?
I shaved it. My beard fell off.
Oh, no.
And I have a smooth face. I'm one of the bald faces now.
You know, you've got two cats, so this can be fixed. We can knit you a cat hair beard.
I mean, I think that just comes naturally through the course of me sleeping. I just, come covered in cat hair anyway. Basically, facial recognition, your fingerprint, your palm prints, and other information about your distinguishing characteristics about your body. These are biometrics. That's what the term is applied to mean. So the U.S. government has used this in various ways in order to track down criminals. They've used this in order to hunt undocumented people and send them wherever. And now they're using this increasingly to, you know, an application on actual people traveling at airports. And so, yeah, we're seeing the application of this technology and having, you know, far-reaching implications. So it's not people that are alleged to have committed a crime anymore, but it's, you know, becoming more and more widespread, especially with new laws that have come before Congress in the last year. And some of these are, you know, the TSA Modernization Act, so-called. TSA Modernization Act will expand facial recognition technologies to track people, not across borders only, but also within airports, even on domestic flights. So this is, you know, becoming a technology more and more widespread as time goes on. Not only is the application of the technology becoming, you know, more used, but the technology itself is becoming, as quote unquote, better. It's becoming more accurate, I should say, with regard to forming matches on a face that you might see in, you know, a record somewhere that they already have stored. Yeah, these are worrying for privacy, for the rights of anonymous association, and in general, for us to have a free society, for whatever is left of that.
It's a free country. This year, an element of the USA Patriot Act that came up before Congress for funding has focused on the collection of biometric data in U.S. airports as related to immigration and overstaying visas. You've mentioned it's been applied to those things. And this is something that has been written into the Patriot Act from the beginning. But yeah, maybe the specific modernization of it is what they're calling the specific step forward. But it's been argued that facial recognition is the form of biometrics that's least intrusive to the madding crowds. Many civil libertarians have been concerned that about the collection and databasing of everyone's images for databasing. And what will happen to this info? In particular, for the mostly U.S. legal residents who are passing through those airports where it's going to be implemented. What is the civil libertarian argument about the protection of personal information that could be collected without contact, like video in a public place or in a, you know, like video cameras are ubiquitous, right? So how does this differ really from just having cameras everywhere?
Yeah, and from a kind of civil libertarian constitutionalist framework, one makes the argument that we have the right to privacy that is implied in the Constitution. We have the right to anonymous association, the right to travel. These things have been derived from case law over the last century, the last half century, really, in various cases. There's the NAACP versus Alabama, and that's the right to anonymous association. Shapiro versus Thompson, 1969 case law that established the right to travel. So there is a precedent for, you know, anonymous travel within the U.S. and throughout the world for U.S. citizens. You know, that's kind of the constitutional argument, libertarian argument, that's used to say that these technologies are going to suck up user information. They're going to put them in huge databases, and that infringes and impedes on these fundamental rights, which, you know, you can kind of see. I think that civil libertarian arguments are useful in a context of trying to establish precedent and trying to push back upon the state's encroachment into our personal lives in all aspects. I would kind of, in a more, I guess, you know, objective or more like a nuanced way, as like the encroaching totalitarianism that we're facing. That's kind of a different argument, but I think a more radical one, which is to say that the state's encroaching on, you know, our lives, their databasing, their categorization of our travels. These are things that speak to a kind of larger degree of totalitarianism within our lives, of state influence within our lives. They're developing technologies that shape how we can associate with each other, how we can travel, how we associate. these kind of things. So these are, you know, two related